Today's Bible reading is Luke chapter 1, verse 39 to 56. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him, from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. This is God's word.
Thanks, Jason. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all. Please keep that Bible reading open in front of you as we work through that. Today is the first Sunday in Advent. The meaning Advent is coming. The coming. Christians all over the world celebrate the coming of the Lord Jesus to this world as a little baby and who grew up to be the Savior of the world by dying on a cross. So we're going to spend some time in that passage, but before that, allow me to pray and commit this time to God. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the opportunity for us to sing praises to you this morning, because you deserve all the praise and honor and glory. And Lord, we pray this morning as we spend some time in your word, reflecting, thinking, meditating. We pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit will be at work in and through us, shaping us to be more and more like your Son, Jesus. And as we do, Lord, may your name be honored and glorified. And we ask this in his name. Amen. Just a quick question. Think about this year, when was the first time you heard a Christmas song, either at a shopping mall or somewhere? When was the first time you heard a Christmas song? October? September? Okay, earlier than that? Oh, yeah, well, I heard around October. So September, Woolies? Yeah. So it's getting earlier and earlier, isn't it? I think Christmas music, whether you believe in the real meaning of Christmas or not, it kind of creates this atmosphere of celebration, isn't it? So we hear Christmas carols, if I can get this working, yes, there you go. Christmas carols during this time, and we have been singing those today, and we should start singing that earlier. And some of the songs, as Paul mentioned, we should be singing throughout the year, isn't it? Because they capture the core meaning, core beliefs of Christianity. Now, not just at Christmas, singing has become an essential part of any Christian gathering, right? To the point, some people might even argue, if you're not singing, you're not a church, right? It is said that people remember songs more than sermons. Probably that is true here as well. You remember songs more than the sermons. But singing also has been a very contentious thing in churches. Not just whether we sing hymns or contemporary songs, but people have often argued about the theology, the tempo, the vocal range, and the instruments that we use when we sing, and churches have had big splits over singing. But singing is a way of expressing our heart to God, isn't it? It is a way of expressing our heart to God. And today, the passage that we read from Luke, we are encouraged to sing praises to God for Jesus. We are encouraged to sing praises to God for sending Jesus. And the two questions that we will be thinking about this morning is, why do we sing? Why do we sing when we sing? And what should we do when we sing? A bit of a context. Luke is writing this letter to a guy by the name of Theophilus. He's not a believer, he's a Gentile, a leader perhaps. But Luke wants to give this accurate account of Jesus' life to Theophilus so that he will have certainty about who Jesus is. And his hope, I think, is that Theophilus and us reading this letter today and every generation will put their trust in Jesus. At the beginning of this chapter, we have two big announcements, don't we? The birth of John, a woman who has been barren, Elizabeth, for so many years. Now she's old, now she has become pregnant, and she is carrying this special baby, the forerunner, the messenger ahead of God's special king. And in verses 26 to 38, we hear another big announcement. A lady, a young virgin by the name of Mary, has fallen pregnant. And she's carrying God's special king, Jesus. And today we come to verses 39 to 56. The two pregnant women, they meet. And verses 46 to 45, we hear Mary singing a song. But in verses 39 to 45, the verses before that gives us the reason, the context for Mary's singing. In other words, Mary's song is a response to what Elizabeth has revealed about Jesus. So let's have a look at this passage together. You can read it in your Bibles. Some of the verses will come up on the screen. So why do we sing? Why do we sing? Elizabeth tells Mary and us in verses 39 to 45, we sing because Jesus is amazing. Jesus is amazing. When Mary arrived at Elizabeth's house, and as she greets, we are told in verse 41 that the baby in Elizabeth's womb got really excited. Verse 44, Elizabeth says the baby leapt for joy when the baby heard the greeting of Mary. We don't know how exactly this happened. What exactly happened? Was it a kick? Or a headbutt, or a nudge. A mother would be able to tell us what that feels like. But whatever it is, Luke wants us to see and know there's something unusual happening here. Something unnatural is happening here when Mary arrived. The baby in Elizabeth's womb was pointing Elizabeth to the specialness of the baby in Mary's womb. And Elizabeth is excited, isn't she? And she screams in a loud voice, "Blessed are you among women, blessed is the child that you will bear." She's not excited to see Mary. She's excited because of the baby that Mary is carrying. Now, why is Mary blessed? Not because she has earned it. Not because somehow she's holier than others. No, she is blessed because of the baby she's bearing. You see, friends, Mary's worth, your worth, my worth, our value comes from God because He gives that to us in Jesus, isn't it? Our value is given to us by God in Jesus. So who is this Jesus? Verse 43, Elizabeth recognizes Jesus as my Lord. Now, this is a bit strange, isn't it? Now, how can an unborn child, a fetus, be the master of or the Lord of an old woman? Now, it doesn't take rocket science to kind of recognize that Elizabeth is not talking about a human master here. An earthly boss. No, she's not talking about anything human. There's something bigger, something greater. She recognizes Jesus as the Lord of heaven and earth. He's God come down to us. Here's a description of Jesus in Colossians. It says the Son, who's Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things holds together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so in everything He might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him. Magnificent, isn't it? Amazing, isn't it? This is our Jesus. Now, how did Elizabeth know all this stuff? When she says, He is my Lord, how did she know? It is impossible for her to know all this, right? About a fetus. And that's why, if you read verse 41, we are given a clue. When Elizabeth, the baby in the womb, was kicking, she didn't just feel a kick in her gut. She was filled with the Holy Spirit. She was filled with the Holy Spirit. So whatever she felt, understood, and said, Luke wants us to know, she didn't make it up. See, she didn't make it up. She was guided, she was prompted, she was led by the Holy Spirit, whose role is to reveal Jesus to us. In other words, I guess Luke, who's writing this, wants from the beginning us readers to know that we cannot know this Jesus unless the Holy Spirit reveals Him to us. We will know stuff about Jesus, a lot of stuff about Jesus, but the personal, saving knowledge of Jesus can only happen when the Holy Spirit works in and through us. See, Elizabeth is amazed by knowing the identity of Jesus. But that's not it, right? The moment she realizes in whose presence she is, verse 43, she asks, "Why am I so blessed that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Elizabeth knows God has granted her a huge favor in bringing her Lord Jesus to her in Mary. Again, notice the focus is not on Mary. The focus is on the Lord, the baby. And she's amazed that the God of the universe, God of the whole universe, has come down to her, unworthy, simple, sinful person. And she's asking, "What have I done to deserve this favor?" And the answer is nothing. And God has shown amazing grace to Elizabeth. Now, if you think about it, in the bigger scheme of things, this is what God has done in Jesus, right? God has sent Jesus to our mess, to a world full of sin, injustice, corruption, darkness. What have we done to deserve this? Nothing. In fact, we don't deserve Jesus. But this amazing Jesus, he humbles himself so that he be born as a baby amongst us, that he can grow up and die on a cross. And we too must be amazed that God would do such an amazing thing by sending Jesus to us. In verse 45, Elizabeth does something beautiful, doesn't she? She admires Mary for taking this great leap of faith when she trusted in God about Jesus and she obeyed God. And Elizabeth knows that Mary is going to have a hard time. Try telling someone that I got pregnant out of wedlock. I don't know how this happened and God did this. She's going to be ridiculed for her faith. She's going to have a hard life ahead of her. So what does Elizabeth do? She, at the end of her encouragement, she comes alongside this young mother, Mary, who would have been just a teenager, and encourages her. And she says, "Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill her promises to her." What is she saying? Mary, Jesus is amazing. Keep trusting in God's promises. You are doing the right thing by obeying Him. So keep doing it. Don't give up. Keep going. And I think there is this great encouragement, isn't it, from this older lady to this young mother. Keep going in trusting in God. I think we need this sort of encouragement today in our church, isn't it? We need to encourage those who have believed in Jesus to saying, "Great, keep it up. Keep going, keep growing in your faith. Keep reading the Bible, keep doing the right thing and don't give up, praying." And there are others amongst us, isn't it, who are on a specific faith journey, who has trusted God for perhaps a healing or to start a new family, perhaps to find a husband or a wife, perhaps to find a job. And as a church, as a group of believers, I think we need to get behind those people and encourage them to keep going, to pray for them and to pray with them. As here in verses 39 to 45, Elizabeth has confirmed to Mary and to us that the baby that she's bearing is amazing. That Jesus is amazing. Now, is that not why we must sing when we get together? Not because we have beautiful voices, not because we have a great band, not because we have answered prayers, not because it's Christmas and we feel like singing. No, we must sing because Jesus is amazing. Because friends, there will be days our prayers may not be answered. We may not have a band or our voices. It won't be Christmas every day. And still, we have a reason, don't we, to sing. Because Jesus is amazing. Jesus is amazing. So what should we do when we sing? What should we do when we sing? Let's have a look at Mary's song, quickly, verses 46 to 45. She doesn't say, hey, look at me, I'm pretty, I'm beautiful, look at me, the blessings that I have, look at me, I'm this, I'm that. No, she doesn't do that, does she? The very first thing she does, or the whole song, what she does is, she's magnifying God, and that is what it is, why this song is called the Magnificat. She's magnifying God, she's pointing us to God. Verse 46 to 50. She says, my soul rejoices, or glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. He has been mindful of the humble status of his servant. Verse 48, when Mary says, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. She's not saying, hey, come, all of you, come and worship me as a holy person. No, rather what she says is, she wants all generations to recognize God's grace for her. And what God has done for her. The miracle of incarnation. That God has taken the form of a human being. In verse 50, when she says, now the same mercy, same grace is extended to those who fear him from generation to generation. You see, friends, God's grace and power is not limited to Mary. It is now available for anyone from anywhere, from any generation who trusts in God. As I said a couple of weeks ago, God doesn't help those who help themselves. God helps those who trust in him. None of us can be the mother or the father of Jesus, but in Jesus we all can be a child of God, right? And that's what he says. That his mercies now are extended to those who fear him from generation to generation. And again, do you see what Mary is doing? She's pointing, isn't she? She's pointing people from every generation to God. And again, this is what we should be doing as believers. When there is success, when there is healing, when there is a breakthrough in good times and when in bad times, we must not forget to acknowledge God. And in our singing in the church, we must make sure that the songs that we sing are focusing on who God is and what he has done rather than what we can do or what we will do or who we are. Because God wants to be glorified in us and through us. And the second thing that we hear in this song is Mary looks back. She looks back at God's mighty deeds. Because when we do, we will notice that showing mercy is not just a one-off thing that God does. No, this has been God's pattern. If you look at verses 51 to 54, it says, He has performed mighty deeds with His arms. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts, and He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent rich away empty. You know what? Mary knows her Bible. She knows how God has acted in the past to deliver, to provide for her forefathers. And she wants to praise God for that. And Mary is singing to Elizabeth and to us, and she's urging us, guys, do not forget God's past mercies. Get to know your Bible first. It is not a book of fairy tales or fiction. No, there are real stories of God's mighty deeds in the past. Take time to read, take time to meditate and understand. But also take time to look at your own lives. Because friends, if we are honest, when we all have those moments, don't we? Where we forget how God has delivered us in the past. How God has answered prayers for us. And we often worry and panic, and we don't know what to do, and we forget to pray because we've forgotten that God has actually come through in the past. And there's this great old hymn, isn't it? It puts it this way. It comes up. There you go. When upon life billows you are tempest-tossed, when you're discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. I think we must learn to look back and count our blessings. And in this song, that's what Mary is encouraging us to do, isn't it? Look back, folks. Look back what God has done. Because friends, when we do look to the past, the third thing that will help us is that it will help us to trust in God for the future. Trust in God for the future. Verse 54 to 55, she looks into the future, doesn't she? The same powerful God has come down in Jesus to rescue Israel. And Mary sees beyond Israel. Mary sees that there will be a time where Jews and Gentiles, people outside Israel, will trust in Jesus. The seed of Abraham, the promises God made to Abraham's descendants. And if you know your Bibles, in Genesis 12, God promised that He would bless the nations through the seed of Abraham. And Mary recognizes that Jesus is Abraham's seed. That God has now opened the door for His kingdom, not only to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. Anyone who believes in Jesus will be part of God's kingdom. And again, we who read the Bible, we know, isn't it? We know that she's referring to the amazing salvation that will happen in a few years' time when Jesus grew up and He would die on a cross and be brought back to life, which we'll remember in a moment as we take part in communion. We are called to sing. Called to sing, pointing people to God. Looking back and praising God for His mercies, and looking forward, trusting in God for His mercies. And Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, have these words for us. He says, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light." So friends, sing praises to God because Jesus that we celebrate, that we think about during Christmas and every day is amazing. Sing praises. And as we sing, remember to point people to God. Because He alone is worthy of all praise and honor and glory. And as we sing, let us take time to look back and praise God for His mercies in the past. Because we are called to be witnesses of Him. And let us look forward to God keeping His promises. To act in a mighty way to bring people into His kingdom from every tribe and tongue and nation. What a day that would be. Just imagine this group of people from the last count was 24 nationalities together. There'll be a few more hundreds together, worshipping God together in heaven. And we look forward for that day, don't we? Where we sing praises to God together for Jesus, for all what He has done in and through Jesus. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my all. So help us as we leave this place today that You allow us and enable us to live a life that is wholly devoted to You. That Lord, wherever we are, Your praises will ring out. And Lord, people will come to know You and trust in You. And we ask this. We give You praise now, in Jesus' name. Amen.